Amen. It is so good to see everybody this morning. I tell you, I've been excited about getting back to regular schedule and seeing everybody. It's just so good to see you. I look forward to this every week, just seeing you and just so glad and thankful that you're here and just hoping and praying maybe we'll have that warmer weather kind of settle in and stay with us a little bit longer. And we'll probably have some more snow before it's all said and done, I guess. But I'm excited, and it's better when you can just get around and not have to tiptoe around everything and all that stuff. But Darren, when I was a kid, I didn't have to worry about it so much. But you know, we're just talking about slips and falls and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, I tell you, if you'd like to, let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 1, verse 18. If you'd like to turn there. I'll probably not have you turn to all the places unless you just want to. And the reason being, I do have several places to turn this morning. And so that's one of the things that's beautiful about having it recorded. If you ever want to go back and catch something, you can. Scripture and what have you. And I tell you, I could get you bogged down and flipping pages, but it's more important to me this morning that you hear what's being said. And it's coming from the Word of God. What I did actually is I took a lot of notes and wrote things down, have it written down so I could be more expeditious with it, or I guess just keep it right of going. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can get bogged down in the flipping and the turning, and I get that. But the Lord laid this on my heart early this week, and I'll say this. I usually try not to get caught up in some of the current events too much because I think people take this side, people take that side, and things like that. But then when you get to a point where you see maybe a trend in people or in churches, in Christians or what have you, that should be addressed, it's more important to do that and not just fly by it. Been something I've thought about a lot is I don't want people in our church to be ignorant of things. I think it's my responsibility to share things with you. When you look at the calling of a watchman, the calling of a pastor, they're supposed to be able to see things, identify things, and help people work through those things. You know, oddly enough, if you go back, and I learned this week even, one of the qualifications for one of the priests is that they had to be able to see. Isn't that something? That's an important thing, isn't it? Well, for them, one of the things they had to do, they had to be able to identify leprosy, be able to look at it and prescribe what needed to be done. If they couldn't see it, how are they going to prescribe what needs to be done? I tell you, it's important that you and I, absolutely the man of God, but you and I as the church, we're able to see things that's going on and be able to identify and know, hey, this is right, or hey, this is wrong. And it's okay that things are identified as being wrong. I want you to know that. You know, we don't have to jump up and scream and holler about things and act crazy about things and all this stuff. But the Bible says that you and I, Christians, are supposed to be able to distinguish what's right and wrong. That's what the Bible, a great portion of it's about. And things that are different are not the same. And that's okay. It's okay. But I think it's important that you and I be able to identify things, and I've tried to find a good title this morning, and just a minute ago the Lord really laid on my heart this way, but what I want to preach on this morning is the good, the bad, and the ugly of compromise. Compromise. You know, when you look at the word, and I tell you, from the church's standpoint, a lot of time when you hear compromise, you think negative or bad. I do. I'll just speak from the first person. I'll just speak for me this morning. When I think of the word compromise, I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad word, and you're not supposed to do it. End of story. But then the reality of it is, when you look at compromise, if you're married, how many of you have had to learn to compromise? You better. Brother Dev, Sister Betty, shaking their head. We better. If you have this, it's my way or the highway attitude, welcome to the highway. It can happen. I mean, you know, you think about compromise, you think sometimes it's all bad, but there is the good and there's the bad and there's the absolute ugly of compromise. The thing about it is, if we get used to compromising in such a way that we're trying to unify with something we're not supposed to be unified with, it does become a dividing factor. It's not a good thing. And you see people take sides and try to justify things. And just recent weeks even, just seeing things, people trying to say that this is right. This person is acting like a Christian because they did this. Well, what about all this other stuff? You say, preacher, you're just picking on. I'm not picking on people. If you read your Bible, the Bible tells us if we're saved, we are a new creature. Which means we don't act like the old creature. Right, Brother Norman? I mean, isn't that what it says? That's what the Bible says. See, one thing I want you to really take note of this morning, and I've said it in Sunday school and I've said it before, I don't try to get people to see things my way. I want us to see things altogether God's way. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. That's the beautiful thing about pulling that together. So I want to start out this morning with the good definition of compromise, and we'll pray and we'll get into it this morning. I don't want to be too long. But if you look at the word compromise in its first definition, it means a mutual promise or a contract of two parties in controversy. So you got two people in disagreement. Two people in disagreement to refer their differences to the decision of arbitrators. You got two people at variance. They're wanting to come together, and they go to a party. They go to an arbitrator and say, hey, can you help us come together at some point? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning, God, for your word. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for each one who attends, Lord. It's just so good to see everybody. We thank you, Lord, for good enough weather to be here, just be around one another again. God, we thank you for your protection, your provision. And God, I just pray that you use me this morning. God, you've laid this on my heart in such a way, and I just pray, God, that you bring it out. Lord, you bring it out the way that it's supposed to be. I don't want to mess it up, God. I want you to have full reign, full course. God, that you would strengthen your people. Lord, strengthen me. Help me. Help me be the watchman that I'm supposed to be. And help us, Lord, to be reminded of things that we need to be reminded of. See the dangers of compromise, the importance of it, God, and how it is to be used and how it's not to be used and the consequences of it, God, if it's left undone and left unattended. But God, I pray for each one here today. Help all of our hearts, Lord. God, I pray for those that are lost here and those that are lost listening. God, I pray that you help them. God, really help them. Help them, convict them, God, to see their need. Lord, before it's too late, I believe with all my heart, time is winding down. But go with us, God, and I just pray that you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. When you look at this first definition, you see two different parties, two different groups of people that are wanting to come together, and that's a good thing. We're supposed to want to live in unity and be able to come together, and you know that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to this earth to do, was to bring us together with God. Did you know that? That's his mission. That's what he wanted to do. He saw that you and I are at variance with his Father, and he wanted to bring us together. And here's the beautiful thing. He's the only one that could do it. Nobody else could. You had God in a place you and I could never get to. And then you have us here, but there had to be a bridge for God to show us who he is. And that's who the man Christ Jesus is. Someone that we could relate to, something that we could see, something that we could have an example of. So what does Jesus say? We see here in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now and let us reason together. That's what he's saying. That's compromise. Let us reason together. Let us join our minds. Let's join our hearts together on something. I want to come together. I don't want us to be at variance. I want us to be together. And that's what he's saying here. He says, come now and let us reason together. Let us study together. Let us think for a minute about this. Let us think about things. When you think about the first point of compromise or the first point of referring your differences to somebody else, it has to be at the day and the time of your salvation. If you never come to that, then you'll never see any other part of it. You would always be at variance with God himself, not going through Jesus Christ. That's what you see here in Isaiah, the first part of this. You got a mutual promise or contract between two parties in controversy. That's you and me and God. But you have Jesus Christ says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. This is the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's saying, you know what? There's a remedy to your sin. Jesus never come and said, your sin doesn't matter. Jesus never come and said that came to die on a cross to just act like our sins do not affect him, do not affect our lives. He's absolutely saying it does, but he says, I have the remedy for that if you're willing to come through me. You see, this thing about compromise and you laying down your will for somebody else's, that's not always a bad thing. But the very first place that we have to do this is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad that you think about those sins, those things that haunt you, those things that plague you, those things that keep you bound, that somebody is able to do something with that? Amen. Hey, man! I tell you, I'm just going to be honest, I don't want to carry that stuff around. Carry it around for a few weeks and you'll want to unload it somewhere. That's just too heavy. I don't want to carry it. Jesus Christ carried all of our sins to the cross that we would have a way of salvation, Brother Allen. We don't have to carry it. We don't have to. And let's say this. If you've ever gone through the hardest point or the hardest part or hardest thing you've ever experienced in your life, and you get through it, do you want to go through it again? You want to lay it down and forget about it, don't you? I would. There's pain, there's dread, there's anticipation of things that I get on my mind. Boy, I don't want to go through that. And I think about other people going through things. And Lord, I hate to see them going through that. And I think, well, maybe the Lord will help them through and it won't be as bad as what we're thinking it is and getting through that point. But the last thing that I hope for and think about is I want to go through that again. Maybe they'll get to go through that again. One thing you got to understand and learn about sin is once you get through something, once you've been forgiven for it, you don't want to go through it again. You want to leave it where it's at and turn away and walk away from it. That's the reality that we see in what the Bible teaches. What you see in the world today is there's a claiming of Jesus, but a walking in the same pattern, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong. It's not right. You think about the sweetness of unity here. It says Psalm 133 in verses 1 through 3. It's talking about unity together. It takes compromise to walk in unity. It really does. I believe the Bible teaches us that if we come together, reason together around God's word, that we can walk together in unity. In Psalms 133:1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's the best thing ever. When the family's together and getting along, when the church family's together and getting along, what is better than that? On this side of eternity, that's as good as it gets in my book. It really is. When everybody's faring well, doing well, there's no disruptions, no fussing, no feuding. Bible also goes on to say it's like precious ointment upon the head. Talks about the anointing. This unity is compared to the anointing that was given to Aaron the Levites. I tell you, that's a precious time in my life. When I look back and see the calling, the anointing of the Lord on my life, it's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, even also goes on as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. There's nothing more precious than that. Just having the presence of God on your life. That's what unity is compared to. Unified with God the Father. Unified with your brothers and sisters. That is as good as it can get here. Unity don't just happen. A lot of times unity gets broken and sometimes you don't know how to fix it and what have you. You turn to God and you go to Him. He's the one that unifies. He's the one that will bring us together. You say, well, how, How do you do that? How if you have one brother saying this and one brother saying that, then this is what you got to consider here. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes just kind of breaks it down for us this way. What's the conclusion? If you want to pinpoint something, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. You got somebody that doesn't have a fear and respect for God, watch out. Watch out. Be careful. I want to tell you something. Everybody that claims God, everybody that puts the name of Jesus on something is not right. People think they can do that now. You know what age we live in this day and time? An age of branding. Everybody needs their own brand. Everybody wants that on social media. Everybody is a superstar now or can be and all this kind of stuff. They want the likes, the shares, the subscribes, and they want to see your branding. And that's what people are worried about. They're more worried about their business than anything else. Business, business. Want to reach people. That's why they'll compromise and go along with things that aren't right, because they want that business. And everybody in this nation, you look at our nation, it is so divided, don't leave anybody out. Well, we better put some Jesus branding on this thing too. Can't leave him out. Can't leave that population out either. So we'll put that on there. We'll say Jesus. We'll say that. People say, hey, did you hear old Jelly Roll got saved? I was like, did he? I don't know him personally. You say, you going to go there? Well, I'm saying, well, here's the thing. Went on social media the other day and watching him cussing a blue streak, and I was like, I thought he just got saved. I tell you, when you talk about a fountain, you don't have pure water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. That means Jelly Roll, and that means you, and that means me. The importance of our testimony. When I hear people, hey, this superstar got saved, you know what I say? I hope so. But the reality of it is, just like with you and me, the world will either see a change or they won't see a change at all. And that's just how it is. You know, when I see things going on in life and people trying to argue this point and argue that point and all this and all that, the Bible's very clear on it. You know, here's the thing. If I was in a position, if I used to be a rock star, if I used to be, and I'm not, I can't sing. And that's fine. But if I used to be, and I got up here this morning and I did this, and then tomorrow night I'm out doing my same old concert, would you think any different of me? Would it matter? What would you think? If you know our deacons like I know our deacons, I wouldn't be back on Wednesday night. That's what I think. Shouldn't be. Amen. Heard a deacon say amen. It's amen. And you know what? That's okay. It's not supposed to be the same. At what point in time in the Bible do you see the comparison of the world and the comparison of the church or the comparison of God's word where it's supposed to just be the same? God wants it to be one. You and I have a free will, and that's what messes everything up. I want to say this. I tell you, if somebody truly gets a hold of somebody and saves them, there's going to be a change, and you'll hear about that change and you will see it. I've been taught, and I already feel this way anyway, without being, if you want to say, taught that way, but I'm never supposed to get up here and brag on sin. I just don't think the two places match to do that. I've seen people do that. People get up and talk about how wicked they were and all this kind of stuff. And here's the thing. If I was to get up and carry on like a lost man and then try to pretend to be a saved man, I think you can see through that. I think you could. You need to be able to have that discernment. There's a lack of discernment in this day and time. And see, here's the thing about it too. I think sometimes also what happens is we're so unplugged from what we're supposed to be plugged into that we don't even recognize. We just kind of go along with it. We just see it. We see things quickly on social media, and if you're not careful, time passes and goes on, and that's where you see the whitewashing and all this stuff that used to matter just not mattering anymore because of compromise. People get compromised. You see the good of compromise. We're supposed to be able to work and get along with one another, but there's also, you see, the bad of compromise. Second definition I'll give you here, it means to agree, to accord, to commit, to put to hazard. So you see, something's kind of changed. Something's been added into this right here. To pledge by some act or declaration, you see there's some kind of change in compromise. I think one of the biggest things that I see personally in compromise is the compromise of trying to get people in church. Heard it said like this week, and it was good. He's spot on. Preacher, he said this. He said, if you use entertainment and emotionalism and all these things to get people in the door, you better keep it up, because if you stop, they're going to leave. What you get them in the door with is what they're going to expect to have every time. That's what they want. Well, say, aren't you supposed to be hospitable? Aren't you supposed to compromise a little bit and try to help? Well, this is the bad of compromise. The one thing that needs to get you through these doors, honestly, is a desire to learn about Jesus Christ. A desire to want to hear what the Word of God says, not a bunch of stories and a bunch of tales. Church has become so much entertainment that people can't even see it anymore. It's like, I want to feel something when I come to church. Act like somebody through the week before you get here, and you'll be amazed how much that'll change. I'm going to be honest with you. If you think you can live like the devil all week and come to church on Sunday and the preacher magically be able to make you feel something, you're wrong. You get complacent and you get used to it. So that's the preacher's fault. He just didn't preach it this or didn't do that. Boy, the choir didn't sing like this and all that. It's emotionalism. That's what people are getting accustomed to. What you spend your time doing through the week, that's what you get accustomed to. Flipping through things, if it's on social media or what you watch, what you kind of get in your mind. Well, if you're not careful, you think that's supposed to bleed over into your church life. Church life should be different than any other life. Not supposed to be the same. I want you to know, preachers preaching and what we do in church is not entertainment. It's not for entertainment. It's not for sale. Entertainment's for sale. The highest bidder. This isn't entertainment. This is time for you to do business with God. This is one of the most important places you can ever be. And you think about the times you spend in church. Are you making the most of that time? Or is it compromised? Is it a hazard? Trying to get people in. Hebrews 10:26 says this, says that, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Does that mean after I get saved, if I sin, there's no more sacrifice? It's talking about the sin of unbelief. That's the most dangerous sin, Brother Curtis, there is. It's also times it's been called blasphemy. Not appreciating, not believing, not having faith in God and who He says He is. That's the number one sin. That's the sin that puts people in hell. They're not believing God's word. They're not taking Him at His word. And that's what he's saying here. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, you sit here this morning as a lost person, you hear the gospel, you choose not to believe it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That's it. Jesus Christ on the cross is enough. That's as good as it gets. That's all it took. But that was everything he had. Everything he had to offer. You remember God gave his best. There remaineth no more. You look at this also. I look at 1 Kings 18:21. Again, you don't have to turn here, but I think about Elijah. This is one of my most favorite chapters in the Word of God. And Elijah came into all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? I think that's where a lot of people spend their time today, halted between two opinions. Well, let's see what this one says, Brother Finley. Let's see what this one says. Now, let's try to see it this way. Let's be reasonable. Let's try to see it this way and see what this side is arguing and what they're saying. And then what we do, if we're not careful, you kind of fall somewhere right in the middle. Because who am I anyway? I'm just old sinner. I tell you, God has more for you than that, and I want you to know that. You'll see that, I trust, by the time we get done. This is for every single one of us. Yes, we're just sinners saved by God's grace, but once we have known Him, He wants a different life for you and me, a victorious life, a good life, and you can have it. But Elijah here, when he's talking about this, he has this, you think about it, the biggest, one of the biggest challenges, the biggest showdowns that you'll see in the Bible, and it says that Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him." Period. Is God your Lord? Is He? I'm asking you seriously. Is the Lord God, is He your Lord? It will show, and it will tell in every single one of us if He is or He isn't. Regardless of what we say here, it'll show in our life. It'll show in our faith. It'll show in our reactions and how we deal with things. I mean, there comes a point in time you really need to just pull the blanket off of things and just say, I got to call this like it really is. The Bible does. I mean, this was one of the biggest events with Elijah here. He had all these prophets of Baal. They had this contest going on to see if God was going to send the fire out of heaven. And they went out there, and he's saying here, I'll read the second part of the verse. The first part that he says here, he says, if the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. He's saying, make a decision and stand on it. You choose. So what you had, you remember how that goes. Prophets of Baal, they showed themselves everything they could do fleshly to try to get that altar to burn. That's what they tried to do. And guess what it came up with? Nothing. Not a thing. You and I can't do anything in the flesh. Nothing. If you don't have the power of God on your life, you don't have the power of God on your life. I don't. Anything we try to do in the flesh, that's the result of it. They went and they cried and they danced. They took their clothes off. They cut themselves and they screamed. And they screamed trying to get the fire of heaven to come out just to prove that Baal was God. It didn't happen that way. Nothing happened. They went home beat. They went home defeated. But you look at this second part, you think about what Elijah did. He's like, let's make it interesting, Brother Dale. Not only am I going to just wait and know that my God is going to send the fire out of heaven. Let's make it interesting. Let's put a little water on this. Let's put a little water on this altar. If the people around us don't believe, if they don't see, let's make it even more of a miracle that people can see that God is the God. Put some water on that. Waited a few minutes, Brother Patrick said, put a little more. Let's make another round. Put some more on it. Here's the thing, what I want you to see and understand, when the fire of God lands on your life, it's going to change your life. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to hide it. But then you think, and you look at the last part of that verse, and it says here, and the people answered him not a word. You know why? They were compromised. They were compromised. They were neither here, they were neither there. They were neither hot, they were neither cold. They were what Revelation says, they were lukewarm. And God said, I'm going to spew you out. You're no purpose to me. Choose. Bible also says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. That call has gone out forever. That call is a constant call. It's a continual call. They don't just start and stop. That's a continual call. See, these people, they didn't say a word. Look at Matthew 5:37. It says, but let your communication, that's our behavior. It also means talking, what have you, but our behavior. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Bible says, let your yea be yea. Yes, this is what I believe. No, I don't believe in that. No, I'm not going to stand for that. And then the Bible goes on to say, anything else of that is evil. You know what that is? If you got yea and you got nay, anything else is what? Compromise. If you know better and you know what's right, you don't have to rethink it, rework it, and reinvent the wheel. It already is what it is. Bible-believing, professing Christians should know right from wrong and should be able to see it. If we spend time in the Word of God, we should be able to see that, recognize it, and you know what God wants us to do, Brother Terry? Stand on it. Just stand on it. That's just how it is. You hear of other faiths, other religion claiming their faith. They don't come to you wishy-washy. This is what I believe. And we're supposed to be the same way. It's what I believe. Hope you can get it right too. Problem is, one thing that I see a lot of time with professing Christians is they're not willing to live it out. And that's the detriment to the whole thing. That's what makes this entire pyramid fall. That's what makes the entire foundation fall. Talking to Brother Daniel this morning, he was talking about, you know, he's got a construction background. That's what he's talking about. He said, you know, if the foundation on a structure is bent out of shape and it's not right, that entire structure is compromised. I said, amen. See, what's wrong with us sometimes is our perception of what our Christian life is supposed to be at its foundation is compromised. We're not living it out like the Bible says to live it out. We're trying to live it out like what we've come to agree with, what we've come comfortable to agree with. Let's don't make this side mad. Let's don't make that side mad. Let's don't make the devil mad. He'll mess you up. Let's live in a state of compromise so nobody's mad at me and I'm kind of just get through life. Well, there's going to be a point in time in your life, every child of God, I believe, is going to be tried some way, somehow, and you're going to have to make a decision. Every single one of us. I mean, how precious would it be to face the Lord one day and remember a trial that you had to make or that you had to go through and you chose the right path versus, no, Lord, I'm sorry. My faith was weak and I compromised. I should have. I wish I would have. Now's the only time that we have to get things right on this side of eternity. But you see the compromise there. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to pray for unbelievers. You're not supposed to help unbelievers. You're not supposed to be there for unbelievers. But you're not supposed to go live and carry on like what they're doing is right. And that happens a lot. The whole I'm going to win them over thing. I'm going to go there. Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. Jesus was Jesus. And I'll tell you, you're not Jesus. Brother Dale, I'm not either. There's things we ain't supposed to look at, go to, talk about, see, say. There's things we're not. We're just like the prostitute, remember? Jesus is different. We're not like him. And if you go along with people, go along to get along and all that kind of, it's going to put you in the ditch. You're going to mess up. You'll mess up. I promise you. People need to see that there's a difference. It's, hey, it's not like you meeting me on my terms, but you and I meeting God on his terms. That's what changes things. When you meet him where he's at, when you can lead somebody to where he's at and there's only so far you can go and say, hey, I want to help you, but I am not going where you're at. You'll have to meet us where the Lord's at. I'm not going out there. I can't afford to do that. I'm human. I'll mess up. I can't do that. There's nothing wrong with you and me knowing our limitations. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've got things, people call it vices, it's all sin. But if you've got something you're dealing with that you're trying to quit doing, the last thing you need to do is go where it's at. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of things, I believe in this day and time, one of the biggest hurdles that Christians have today are these two things right here. And they're doing this right here. And before you even mean to look at anything, it's already there. Social media, I'm telling you, that's a gateway to hell. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. You say, man, I'm serious about it. Not everything you see right here is what you want to look at. Get your mind in the wrong place, your mind goes, so does the body. So, oh, you're talking silly. You're not strong enough to overcome it. I'm just going to be honest with you. You go that path, you'll fall for it. You see, that's the place that you've seen the good, you've seen the bad. Now, I want you to see the ugly of compromise, and it's actually compromised. You look at that definition there, It means also here, accept standards that are lower than desirable. Boy, that's already, it's already bad. Bring into disrepute by danger or indiscreet, foolish, or reckless behavior. I even got in quotations here, got it highlighted, blackmail. I tell you, it's like this. I remember when I was younger, hanging out with people, college age and what have you. I didn't go to college, but worked at the university, had college age friends, met a lot of college people. We hung out and did things. And, you know, one of the things that was kind of like a running joke on their behalf was, let's see what we can get this Christian to do. Let's see if we can get this Christian to sin. And if they did, you know what you were? Mockery. They'd mock you, make fun of you. It's like a challenge just to see if they could get you to mess up and do what they're doing. Like it's a big joke. You know, sin is no joke. Sin can cost you everything. Sin has cost people everything. And they realize that, I'd say for the most part now, they realize it's not a joke. But here's the thing. You get somebody, you see it a lot in politics. But if you're not careful, you're going to see it in your churches. You're going to see it in your everyday life, the workplace. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. If you want to bring somebody under your control, if you want to compromise somebody, bring down their reputation, get them to tell you about things, get them to do something wrong, and then guess what you've got? You've got something to dangle over their head. That's what you got. See it in politics a lot. I tell you, there's a lot of people, locally, statewide, nationally, they like that power. They want that power. There's people they won't just necessarily just out and out fire you and try to get rid of you. If they can use you, if they can control you, then they'll do that. A person that can be controlled is compromised. It's like, we've got you now. We got you. Say what you want to. I know what you did. I know what you're guilty of. I know this. You're going to say something about me? I don't think you will. Huh? Remember this? You think God does that? If you've been forgiven by God, you know what he does? He says, east to the west. I don't remember it. So who does this? The devil does that. The world does that. People that want to control you do that. Not God. Remember what God says, what the Lord says? Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be black, they can be white as snow. Be red, they can be white. White as snow. He says, let's make this thing right. That is the one thing you can do to not be compromised. It takes a 180 turn. You're going to have to turn these things around. Give you some scripture on this. Romans 12:2, it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible is just very clear. Be not conformed. Don't think that you're going to go change somebody by going and acting like them and somehow magically winning them over. They've already won you over. If you've already acting like them, they've already got you. That's already done. You see, there was no reasoning together. It was just, you just jumped right in and did what they're doing, and now you're compromised. Your word means nothing if you're compromised. And he goes on, be not conformed. That means to resemble or reduce to a likeness of. Don't. The Bible teaches us not to resemble the world and how they act. But it comes along to say, but be ye transformed. That means changed in form. Change from the old me to the new me. The new me don't sing the old me songs. The new me don't go to the old me places. The new me don't look at what the old me used to look at. That's what the Bible teaches. And if any of those apply and the old me and the new me is doing what the old me is doing, then something's wrong. You can't sit there in peace if you've accepted Christ as the new me, if the old me is still showing up. You can't. I can't. So how do you know that? Because I know you and me are the same. I know exactly what it's like. But you have to be able and willing to do something. What it says here to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that's how you prove it. You live it. You show it. That's exactly what prove means. Prove means to make certain, to show, to be found true. I want to say this to you this morning. True repentance equals true freedom. You say, well, you might say this, I'm compromised. I'm compromised. And I know I'm compromised. I know by my testimony, by my lifestyle, by my actions, I'm compromised. Is it too late? It's not. If you're willing to repent. See, that's not my words. That's the Lord's words. If you want to be freed from this, you can have freedom if you're willing to repent of it. Let's say, I think I used this illustration sometime too. Let's say I went and robbed a bank some years ago. And I know I did it. They were looking, they're hot on the trail of it and what have you. And I'm living in constant fear that they're going to find out that it was me. How could you live in peace? You know the one way you can live in peace? Now I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, you know the one way you can live in peace? Before they find you and before they get to you, what if you turned yourself in? Boy. What if you turned yourself in and said, hey, I want to tell you something. I'm guilty. I've been wrong. I know you're looking for me. I'm the man. I'm the one that's fault. But I want to make it right. And you go, you turn yourself in. You know what? What else can anybody do? Bible says, don't fear what man can do to you, but fear the one that can put your body and soul in hell. Is that not what it says? I would be way more concerned about what our God in heaven thinks about than anybody else. What he's concerned about. You know, whatever it is that is got you compromised, you can beat that thing by going and saying, God, please forgive me. You say, is it that simple? It is. Now, it might cost you some things. I'm going to say, a person might go to jail for some time, but guess what? Ain't nobody can hold nothing over your head. It's done. I'm going to close with this verse here. Acts 3:19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted. That's how you make things right. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Gone. There's no more blackmail like that. There's no more dangling over your head. You can live a free person again. Who here wouldn't want that? You don't have to go along with the wrong things that you see in life. You say, hey, well, you know, I will say this. A lot of people that I saw trying to jump on this Kid Rock bandwagon, all this stuff, oh, he's a changed man. And I saw their social media. I said, but boy, you sure ain't. You sure ain't. A lot of the people I saw jumping on that bandwagon are people that claim Christ and claim the bottle at the same time. I'm just going to be honest with you. Compromise. That's exactly what it is. That's why people are afraid to stand up and do something, because they're living wrong and they know it. So they just fly right under the radar. That's where they want to stay. That's not the life that God intends his people to have. This whole thing, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, gone. God will forgive you. Whatever it is you've done, God will forgive you. You can lay that thing down, turn away from it, walk away from it, be done with it. But it has to be a 180 turn, not a 360. There's too many 360 changes in life, and I tell you, that's not a change at all. It gets worse as you come back around. You want to get out of being compromised? I'll say this. It's not a 180. It's not a 360. It's a 180 turn, not a 360 turn. And that can equal you not being compromised any longer. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to please come to the instruments.